I'm amazed that the songs that Jackie's led us in and the talk that John made at the table both fit right in with my lesson. Is that not amazing? Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 5, and we'll be looking particularly at verse 3. I don't have a PowerPoint. It will help me today if you will use your Bibles or devices to turn to the passages if you would like to. 1 John is a wonderful book. I was so pleased when Brother Lanning preached several of his sermons, maybe all of his sermons, during our gospel meeting from that great book. This book seems to have been written for those who were pretty far advanced in the gospel of Christ, spiritually mature people. And so it deals with a level of spirituality that many of the other New Testament books do not. And so listen as we read from chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. I have used the word grievous. It is from the King James Version and is an old word. And I was concerned as I began to prepare this lesson that it might be so archaic that we do not use it much even more. But thanks to Harold in his prayer last Sunday, his good prayer contained the word grievous. To me, grievous is a stronger word than the translation I just read and perhaps the one you hold in your hand. It is a word that connotes to me the notion that this causes a lot of pain, consternation, that the commandments of God are not grievous. And so you might say, why the sermon? The answer is already that the commandments of God are not grievous. But there are a number of passages in the Bible and principles set forth that seem to run so counter to our own experience that they are worth looking at, and this is one of those. Now, the fact is that a lot of people find certain commandments of the Lord grievous, hard to bear, hard to follow. And sometimes to get around that, they will have all kinds of explanations and will say, surely it doesn't mean just that. And it is not because the commandment is difficult to understand. It is because of what is in them. Now, to fill out that thought and to get our foundation for this lesson, if you would turn to a second passage, and this passage is over in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 19, and we'll begin at verse 16. Matthew 19, and beginning at verse 16. Behold, one came to him and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. There are commandments of the Lord that are given to the whole world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. There are commandments that are given to whole nations. Israel was to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And there are commands that are given to certain individuals, and this is one of those. This man was remarkable. I would suppose that if you were to have walked down the streets of one of the cities where Jesus walked, say Jerusalem, and you interviewed 100 people, You would find perhaps only a few who would say, I have kept all of the commandments. That is a remarkable thing. And this is a remarkable young man. And the other passages that talk about this incident fill in the gaps and tell us even more about him. But here was one who had done all of those things, and yet he thought, I'm not quite there yet. And Jesus, of course, read his situation in his heart and said, what you must do is to sell all that you have, give to the poor, come and follow me. That is a remarkable command, but of course, our Lord knew that man's heart and knew that he had to give up his love and attachment to his possessions to really follow him as a true follower. And so, are the commandments of God grievous? They were grievous to this young man. And the command that Jesus gave to him prompted the reaction in verse 22. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. He was full of grief, for he had great possessions. So the principle is that the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. This young man, however, who had a marvelous record and had kept all of those commandments, found that command grievous to him. Turn now to the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. And as you know, even before as you turn there, this is containing one of the longer sermons of Jesus. And it is the sermon on Jesus as the bread of life. God is the most marvelous teacher, and I think as long as we live, we will be amazed at how he chooses to teach us. There are commands or principles that are set forth, like the one we're studying this morning. There are examples, there are inferences that you cannot thoughtfully miss. We sometimes call them necessary inferences. And then God chooses to teach us in yet another way. And that is to send into this world a perfect example of one who would completely do his will. And so saying, I want to obey all the truth of God's word is precisely the same thing as saying, I want to follow Jesus. Jesus, you see, in every respect, followed the will of God. And so to follow Jesus is to follow God. It is to follow all the commandments of God. And so we have before us in this wonderful way the detailed description from four gospel writers of a man who lived on this earth, who suffered in all the ways we suffer, who was tested in all the ways that we are tested, and yet emerged triumphant. And he assures us that we can do the same. Is that not amazing? That we can follow Jesus. And thus, here was a person who actually was the sustenance of spiritual life. And that's what John 6 is about. At the conclusion, however, of that sermon, in verse 60, many of his disciples, now these are not just some of the crowd who might have walked with the people who were there, but his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Are the commandments of God grievous? Well, you read that verse and you think, well, caused some consternation on the part of those disciples. That's really hard. How can I accept this lesson? And we would say, as we study that and as we think about that sermon and their reaction to it, their depth of spirituality, or height if you prefer, was not where it ultimately needed to be, and was not at that point until finally, after his death, burial, and resurrection. And the changed men who witnessed that resurrection went preaching the word and were different men than they were here in verse 60. Something had happened to them. And so that which had been a hard saying, that which perhaps was grievous to them as they thought about it, came to be grievous no more because of what they had witnessed and the commitment they had following his resurrection. And now I want to personalize our lesson. Why do we find the commands of God difficult, grievous perhaps? Jesus said in the Great Invitation, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Isn't that interesting? The burden of Jesus, the keeping of his commandments, the living for him, he describes in two words, easy and light. Do we find the commandments of God grievous, or are they easy and light? I guess you would answer that question, well, it all depends. And you are correct. It all depends upon each one of us and also where we are in our spiritual development. Are there things already in your life that you are able to practice that a few years ago you couldn't practice? That should be the case as we think about our development as Christians and as we grow. On every one of us, a sign could be attached, work in progress. We are changing as we follow the Lord, and that which may have been grievous in the past may become in time easy and light. May it ever be. May we be those people who are developing and no longer find any of the commands of Jesus grievous. I would guess the situation of the people to whom John wrote were that there were those who had, the text in fact indicates, endured persecution. And here toward the last of the first century, there had been already, some commentators say, as many as 10 series of persecutions where lots of Christians gave their life for the faith. And if your relative, if your wife, your mother, your father, your child, somehow you escaped and did not face death, but your loved ones did. And so you are at a different place than people were before that persecution came. So here, as you think about, are the commandments of God grievous? Well, it depends. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Is it because we do not have sufficient revelation that some commandments of the Lord are grievous to us? Turn to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 10, and beginning at verse 8, there is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 31. And Paul writes here, "The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, 'Who shall ascend to heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down from above, or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart.' That is the word of faith which we preached." Moses and Paul taught the same thing about the revelation of God's will. It was accessible. People could get to it. It was not as if it was hard and mysterious and that only a few were privileged to know it. It was everywhere. And God ensured that through the tribe of Levi as he placed Levites among all the nations of Israel. And of course, Moses, and following him, Joshua, they were constantly teaching the people. And so the word was very near to them. What about us here in the 21st century? I would guess that you have not only the Bible, maybe you have in your hand, but in your home, maybe you have a dozen, maybe you have 20. I haven't counted. I have a lot of Bibles. And you have that because maybe they're different references or different print, maybe as you grow older. And so it's accessible. It's everywhere. And then there's preaching of the gospel. And then there are, through various media, there are ways that we can hear sermons and the word can be read. And so it's everywhere. And the problem isn't that it is inaccessible. So are the commandments of God grievous because we can't find them or know them? Surely not. Why is it then that some commandments of God to us are grievous? One of the things would be because of pride. It is very easy for us to have too much self-esteem, to think too highly of ourselves, and to think that we know this, we know that, and therefore God's will is so easy to understand. And yes, I know all about that. And so too much self-esteem. God has placed within His Word many examples, and surely there are examples for every situation that we face. There's a story over in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts of a man who was greatly blessed, and his name was Herod, and on a set day, arrayed in royal apparel, he sat on his throne and gave an oration to the people, and the people kept shouting, "The voice of a God and not of a man." Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. I have no doubt that Herod knew the command of God that worship was reserved for him. "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image," and so on. And so the basic principle with which the Ten Commandments began, and the law of Moses that he was familiar with, he understood that. And for him to accept their worship, look in the New Testament at others who clearly understood that. Peter, when Cornelius fell down before him, said, "Oh, don't do that. I'm just a man. I've been sent to tell you the will of God." And so he forbade the worship of Cornelius even for a minute. Paul and Barnabas, when they were at Lystra, were about to be worshiped, and the people began to say that they were gods and even called them by the names of some of their heathen gods. And Paul scarcely restrained them. He took a great effort to get them not to worship them. And so he understood worship is reserved for God. John on the Isle of Patmos, through the revelation of the angel who showed him things that had been and were and would come to pass, fell down before the angel. And the angel said, "Don't do that. I'm a man. You stand up." And so he understood, though he was overcome at that moment, with great emotion. And I guess as we think about it, we think, well, worshiping an angel, that is we might reason. But no, he was forbidden to do that. But Herod accepted that and was destroyed because of that. Too much self-esteem is a problem that we will need to fight all of our lives. And to think too highly of oneself. And so this commandment, this statement, this principle, that the commandments of God are not grievous, we may need to work on that and work on our pride, our self-esteem. Selfishness is a common problem. "Look not," Paul said to the Philippians, every man to his own things, but every man also to the things of others. "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself and became a servant," he goes on to say. "He came to earth in the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death on the cross." So we understand the need for unselfishness and humility and to have the heart of a servant. You know, many of the commandments that might be a bit grievous to us become kind of easy when we change our focus. When I am concentrated on you and your needs, then I can't at the same moment perhaps entertain so many thoughts about myself. And so our love for others, the command to be kind one to another, if I'm concentrating on that, then I'll not be thinking about, well, this person is not treating me with the respect I deserve. And so many commands become easy when we concentrate on others. It may be that one of the reasons that we find the commandments of God grievous is that we have not yet practiced a lot of self-control. There is so much in the Bible about that, and particularly in the book of Proverbs. I'll read just two passages, Proverbs 25 and 28. Whoever is no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Dangerous situation to be in when we do not rule our spirit. And in 16 and 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And so the rule of one's own self and one's own spirit, the working on the tendency to fly off the handle and to say things maybe that even before the words are out of our mouth, we're so sorry that we said those things. Well, it may be that that lack of self-control hinders a lot of people as they think about the commandments of God. To be angry with our brother without a cause, Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, is to bring his judgment upon us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul said, I realize he was at the point in his thinking that all things are lawful for me. He means within the realm of God's will. But all things are not expedient. There are choices to be made. There are times when we must exercise the utmost wisdom as we think of others, even as we obey the commandments of God. And so, are the commandments of God grievous? I want to tell you a story. Does the word Johnny Pepper mean anything to anyone here? Perhaps he has descendants in this room. I met him in the summer of 1960. I was a student in college selling Bibles, and I stopped by the side of the road. I saw some people over chopping cotton in the field, not far from where Brad lives now. I walked over there and gave this gentleman, whose name turned out to be Johnny Pepper, a demonstration, and he bought a book from me. And I learned that he had 10 children. And so through the course of the summer, I met all of those children, all of whom bought the same reference Bible from me. And I learned an interesting thing about Brother Johnny, and that was that he went to services, to gospel meetings, almost every night through the summer. There was a preacher from Nashville, Jim Bill McIntyre, who held a lot of meetings in Limestone County. And Jim Bill wrote a tract, just the title of the tract was Johnny Pepper, and I have it somewhere in my study. And he asked the question, does it never rain? Is there not bad weather? Is Brother Johnny not tired from working in the field all day? Well, he kept going. The claim was made that one summer he went to a gospel meeting somewhere, of course, in addition to his worship there at Bethel, where he was an elder, that he went somewhere to a gospel meeting during all the summer months, except, I think, for two nights. Is that not remarkable? I have a question for you. There's a command in the New Testament that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Do you reckon that was a grievous commandment to Brother Johnny? I don't think so. He viewed every service as an opportunity. He loved to hear preaching and singing, and he went far and near and knew the names of preachers and lots of members and lots of congregations in Limestone and surrounding counties. And so because it was something he loved to do and wanted to do, of course it was not a grievous thing. Sometimes the commandments of God are grievous to us because it conflicts with what we want to do. The rich young ruler that I read about in Matthew chapter 19 obviously wanted to do something with his riches and would not give them up, though he had a great record of obeying all of those commandments. Here was something that gave him grief. When it conflicts with what we want to do, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, follow me. And so there comes choices. And so we deny self to follow Jesus, and we discover that the commandment is not grievous at all. And sometimes we feel an inner victory when we realize, I've given this up in order to do that, and now I no longer want to do that very much. Maybe there's been an evil habit in your life, and you thought, I just can't quit. I can't stop doing this. That's hard, grievous. But then you did, and after a while, you thought, I'm so glad that I did that. And the commandment that was grievous now is easy and light, and you go on your way rejoicing. There is therefore, Paul wrote, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so, as we learn to walk after the Spirit, every commandment becomes easier and easier. And I can't describe fully, I do not have the ability to do so, what it means to walk after the Spirit. But I want to pose the question now in a different form. Is there a commandment, are there commandments that you find grievous, really hard to do? Perhaps there is. I suggest to you that God's way for you is to bear down and concentrate on anything that is between you and God that is making a commandment grievous to you. The commandments of God are not grievous, but obviously that is addressed to people who are at a spiritual level, who have worked on those things that were hard in their lives. I suppose if one were to go through the Bible and say, well, what is the very hardest commandment that God ever gave? It might be that you would look back into the Sermon on the Mount and you would look there in Matthew 5, 38, 39 and realize that Jesus said, do not resist evil. That's pretty hard if the evil is directed against you. If a person smites you on the right cheek, turn to him the left also. I was teaching on this in an auditorium class a few years ago, and a man held up his hand and he said, Brother Carl, you know that he doesn't literally mean that. Nobody is going to take that. If somebody hits you on the right one, you turn to him the other also. I was so glad that many years earlier, as a very young preacher, that a very old preacher came to the congregation where I was working. His name was C.D. Plum, and he told this story. When he was a young man, West Virginia was a pretty wild place, and there were saloons and houses of ill repute in every little town. And during a gospel meeting in one of those towns, a woman told him privately, she said, I really want to obey the gospel and know that I need to. But my husband is a very wicked man. And he has said, if you do that, the man who baptizes you will answer to me. He said, I will. And he threatened that unknown person. And she told Brother Plum that story. And so he advised her to go ahead and obey God. And he said, you obey the gospel and I'll go see your husband and talk to him. And so she did, and he did. And he found him in his saloon. He ran a saloon. And he walked up to him and said, I'm the man who baptized your wife last night. And the man hauled loose and hit him so hard. Brother Plum said he fell to the floor. And as he got up slowly, he thought, I can take him. He said, I was young and stout. I believe I can take him. And then he said, I had another thought. And he stood up. Didn't say a word. He pointed to the other cheek. And he said the man's face went through some strange changes. And anyway, the end of the story is that later that week or the next, this was the time of 2-week meetings, that he baptized that man. He literally obeyed the command to turn the other cheek. Can you imagine? I don't know if I could do that. I hope I never am faced with that. The instinct is to strike back. And so I would guess that that is a grievous command that the Lord has given in the Sermon on the Mount, to turn the other cheek. Now, that works in a lot of ways and not just a physical fight in a saloon. But to turn the other cheek and to return good for evil is a challenge for all of us. Well, thank you very much for listening to our lesson today, and I hope that that'll help us as we think about the commandments of the Lord. They are not grievous, but that depends, doesn't it? It depends on where we are and how we've developed. But every command, finally, can be obeyed. God has not required of us that which we cannot do. And it may be that when you are near the end of the way, that the sentiment of an old song will be your sentiment, which says, when the last feeble step has been taken, and the gates of that city appear, and the beautiful songs of the angels float out on my listening ear, when all that now seems so mysterious will be bright, as clear as the day, then the toils of this life will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. May God help us to so live that finally, when we get to the end of the way, that we will have fully realized that the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Sometimes people find it hard to repent of sin, and that's grievous to them. Maybe that's your situation today. And as a Christian, you need to make something right in your life or with somebody. Maybe the commands to obey the gospel are hard for you. Actually, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, those are not hard. When you're ready to obey the Lord, those are easy, aren't they? And this room is full of people who would tell you that because they have obeyed and are living for God. If we can help you today, we ask you to come as we stand and sing. Come to